I think in this particular series here, it's bringing, and at least it is for me, a new level of appreciation for what Christ has done for us. You know, I was watching a couple of videos this week about people that did recent videos about the study of the crucifixion and the stuff, what it was like when the Romans did that, you know, and I mean to tell you what Jesus went through, I don't know how he made it through. It had to be the Lord to help him through that thing, you know, but everything he did for us. Praise the Lord. And so we're talking about the word redemption, you know, and brought out the fact that in its original, the word redeem means to buy back something that was lost or enslaved by paying a price. In the biblical sense, humanity is seen as enslaved to sin, but God provides the price to set people free through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. We're going to read a couple of verses and we'll launch into the thing that God has for us today. Praise the Lord. Giving thanks, praise the Lord, giving thanks unto the Father, that's Colossians 1:12, who hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light. Now notice verse 13, who hath delivered us, past tense, from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Can I have an amen? Now notice this is all past tense. We have been delivered from Satan's power. We are translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. It's right now. Praise the Lord. You know, you stop and think about this for a minute. There had to be a major, for your body to become the temple, this is mind-boggling, for your body to become the temple of the living God, which it is, doesn't the Bible say that? There had to be a total cleansing that took place in order for that to happen. Because the Old Testament tabernacle is a type and a shadow, you know, I mean, if it wasn't perfect, the priest would die. If they wanted to do it their own way, you know, they wouldn't live. They wouldn't survive. Everything had to be done perfectly. And on the Day of Atonement, every year, once a year, the high priest, not just the priest, but the high priest was ordained once a year on the Day of Atonement to go in to the Holy of Holies and offer up sacrifices and blood, the sprinkling of blood on the mercy seat. Amen? And then God would accept that. Now, that's Old Testament. That's a type and a shadow. But you and I, we have been purged, we have been cleansed, and God placed his Spirit within us. Praise God. So you qualify because the blood made you qualified. Amen? Amen? So if the blood didn't cleanse you, you could never be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now you remember when Jesus said, when the disciples were all impressed with Herod's temple, the rebuilding of the temple, it took 40-some years, remember that? He said, Lord, these buildings, they're magnificent, you know. And Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. That happened in 70 AD. Amen. And but prior to that, the religious people were coming to him, you know, and Jesus made this statement. He said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. Remember that? And they're thinking naturally, they're thinking, wait a second, this took Herod 40 plus years to rebuild this temple. Now, Solomon's original temple took 7 years. That was the original glory, the temple that was there. But when Herod rebuilt part of that temple there, and it took like 40 some years. So Jesus made this statement to them. He said, you know, tear this building down, tear these buildings down, and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. Now, they thought he was talking about the physical, actual building, the temple. But the Bible says this he spake of his body, which was the temple. Right? So prior to Jesus shedding his blood, he was the real temple, Jesus. Now after the resurrection, when the Spirit of God came and so forth on the day of Pentecost, now the Bible says, now we are his temples. Amen? Now the beautiful thing about that is he never leaves us. That's just something that we have to remind ourselves, especially because we got this body. You know, we get the five senses, you know, what we see, what we feel, what we touch and taste, the five senses, you know. And sometimes we don't feel we're going through something. We don't feel as if God's with us. But the truth of the matter is he's with us all the time, whether we feel him or not. Amen? How many of you know you have internal organs in your body right now? You may not necessarily feel them, but they're working. Amen? How many of you got a brain? One person. Okay. But it's, you got internal organs. You may not feel them, but they're functioning. Praise the Lord. And you know, God says, I'll be with them. I will dwell in them. I'll walk in them. I'll be their God and they shall be my people. Praise the Lord. So the way that we stir ourselves up is by way of remembrance, recalling things, bringing them up in our minds and by saying things like, my body's the temple of God. Even though I don't feel any goosebumps today, I don't feel a certain way, God's with me. I have found me personally that when I do that, it stirs up. The Bible says, stir up the gift of God which is in you. Amen. And there's ways that you can stir up those things by bringing them to your remembrance, by speaking them, and by saying, my body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. I was doing that all day yesterday. Thank you, Lord. My body's the temple of God. Thank you, Lord. That wherever I go, you go. Amen. And I got happy. Amen. You can actually preach yourself into happiness and peace and joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we could see from this scripture right here that he has delivered us. He's given us, it says, we have redemption through his blood right now and the forgiveness of sins. Go to Galatians chapter 3 real quick. I want to go through this rather quickly here because I got some things I want to share today. Hallelujah. And of course, all of our messages, Josh puts those up on our website. You can download them for free. We don't charge for them. You can listen to them. We have a podcast that you can look up, or you could just go on our website and listen to them just to be a blessing, and then you can pass them on to somebody else. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that's us, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. So we looked at this and we began to talk about a perfect redemption, how that we are redeemed. You and I are completely redeemed from the curse. Say, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
Now, this is not a futuristic thing when we get to heaven that, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll be redeemed. Our redemption is for right now on this earth. Praise God. And we found out from the Bible, I'm just reviewing here, that the curse of the law is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And if you break it down, it has to do with spiritual death, sickness, disease, poverty, economic hardship, and then mental, emotional oppression. And this is all listed in Deuteronomy 28 in verse 65 through 67. Talks about mental torment, okay? So we are redeemed, amen? Now let's go back to Psalm 107 in the Old Testament here. Like I said, I'm going to move a little bit quicker here because I got some territory I want to cover before we let you out here this morning. Praise God. A perfect redemption. Now, we started last week about an application of our redemption. If we're redeemed, which we are, how do we apply that? How do we unlock the key to make that happen in our lives in this natural world that we live in? Okay? That's a valid question. Now, in Psalm 107, verse 1, David said this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We sang that song this morning, didn't we? And his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Now, it's interesting. You know, the Bible talks about the tabernacle, and you have the different utensils and the different things in the original tabernacle, the original Holy of Holies, you know, where the Ark of the Covenant, you know, what did you have on top? You had the mercy seat, okay? But inside the Ark were three items. The Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, and what was the other one? There was the manna, okay? Now, all three of those, there was three items, three different things inside the Ark. Those represented man's rebellion. Okay? But what was over that was the mercy seat. And when the priest would sprinkle the blood, he would put it on the mercy seat. So his mercy triumphed over judgment. Are you with me now? How much more his mercy over us? Amen? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Now, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, that's important right there. Now, you got to say something. You have to open your mouth, right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Okay? Now, we read some further scriptures, but we're not going to go there right now. I'm reading on down there. But the one I wanted you to focus on is verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So it seems that there is a scriptural, biblical connection of redemption and enforcing your redemption. Or else he would have said, just think this. Let the redeemed of the Lord think so. But it didn't say that, does it? Let the redeemed of the Lord say, what are we supposed to say? The Lord has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Say, I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've said that. I quit counting. It's thousands by now. Thousands upon thousands. I am redeemed from the curse. I'm redeemed from poverty. I'm redeemed from sickness. I'm redeemed from spiritual death. I'm redeemed from mental insanity. Glory to God. All those things are under the curse. And there seems to be a great connection between what belongs to us and what we say. Let the redeemed of the Lord say. Okay? So this is what enforces our redemption. In other words, it makes it vital in our lives. Okay? Now go once again to the book of Romans real quickly. Romans chapter 10. Like I said, I'm going to move rather quickly because I got some territory I want to cover, new territory I want to cover here today. What a great time of the season with Easter coming up, you know, to enforce and talk about our redemption of what belongs to us and so forth and so on. And it's just a remarkable thing what God has done for us. Hallelujah. Now we see in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Notice this, in your mouth first and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now that word of faith simply means the word of God. If I preach the word, I'm preaching faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you with me now? Now, the word saved in verse 9. If you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. We looked this up last week. We talked about the Hebrew or Greek word sozo. S-O-Z-O. Okay? And it simply means to, I looked it up in the Greek Strong's Concordance. Amen. That's an exact translation of the Greek there, the word saved there. And here's what it means. It comes from the verb sozo, and it means to save, to rescue, to preserve, to do well, to make whole, and to heal. The word saved is sozo. It means to save, to rescue, to preserve, to do well, to make whole, and to heal. So, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto sozo. Amen? So when we think of in terms of this scripture here, we usually think in terms of just an altar call or someone giving their heart to the Lord. Now, that's true. That does include that, but that's not complete. Okay? When Jesus said, daughter, to the woman, the issue of blood, he says, daughter, your faith has saved you. That's the word sozo. Your faith, the same Greek word, your faith has made you whole. Amen? So there's a whole lot more to that word saved than what meets the eye. Praise the Lord. And so what I want to show you today are some scriptures. Now, when I bring out these scriptures this morning, these are not, I'm sure you've heard these before, you've seen these before, but I want to bring it out in a fresh light. And I felt like, you know, and sometimes, I'll be honest with you, when I'm preparing and I'm praying and getting the mind of God, sometimes I'll tell the Lord, Father, they know this. I'll say that, Lord, they've heard this before. They know this. He said, well, say it again. Okay? And now Peter, it's okay because the Apostle Peter said, though you know these things, I'm going to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Even though you know them, I'm going to bring it up again. Because there's something about when we hear something again that it instills the truth of what's being said in us. Amen? How many of you know that you and I got saved through saying something? Paul the Apostle, he said, Lord, he got saved on the road to Damascus. Lord, what must I do? Lord, what do you want me to do? He was born again on the road to Damascus. Now later, a little bit later, there just a few days later, Ananias, remember he was blinded, not with physical, like he was blind like Bartimaeus, but he was blinded by the glory of God. And the Lord spoke to Ananias, you know, who was a disciple, you know, and the Lord told him where he was, the street name and everything. You know what I'm saying? He said, go to that place and it'll be told there what you must do. And then, and the Bible says he prayed for him and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And his scales fell from his eyes, you know, and he starts working for the Lord. Amen. So when we receive Jesus, we receive sozo. We were made whole. We were rescued. We were preserved. Now everything else that we receive in this life comes the same way. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Amen? Now, there's not a person that's in this room that doesn't have to put a watch on their mouth. Like David said, put a watch on my mouth. He didn't mean this original clock, but he said, Lord, put a guard on my mouth that I would only say what I'm supposed to say. How many of you ever experienced that? I know I have many a times, saying something you shouldn't have said. Oh, yeah. Especially when you're physically tired. You know what I mean? And sometimes when we get tired and worn down, we tend to say things we shouldn't say. I've been there more times than I would like to think. Amen? But, and we're going to get into this today because it talks about the tongue no man can tame. That's true. A man can't, you can't tame your tongue, but the Holy Spirit sure can. Okay? Now, go to Proverbs real quick in the book of Proverbs. Now, we're going to look at a few scriptures in the book of Proverbs. Now, we know that Solomon was the author of the book of Proverbs. And he was considered at that time the wisest man that ever lived on the planet up until Jesus came. And then he said, a greater than a Solomon is here. Amen. But up to that time, after thousands of years, you know, Solomon was the smartest, wisest person. And you know who gave him that wisdom? The Lord did. Because he prayed when he was about to take over the throne from his father David. He said, Lord, I feel so inadequate, you know. He goes, I don't know if I'm coming or going. I'm paraphrasing. He says, give me wisdom that I might guide and lead these people. And the Lord spoke to Solomon and said, because you didn't ask for wealth or riches or for the life of your enemies, he goes, I'm going to give you health and longevity, but I'm also going to give you wealth and riches and wisdom that no one's ever compared to. And he was so smart and so full of the God's wisdom that the Queen of Sheba came from the uttermost parts just to hear, and other people would come from miles away. Now, they didn't have the kind of transportation you and I have today. They were on horseback or camel, okay? They came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear, that part of the world, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. The scripture tells us that he wrote over 3,000 Proverbs, but we have 31. God imparted supernatural wisdom to him. And so we have, the Holy Spirit saw to it that we would have 31 Proverbs, and they're just filled with the wisdom of God. Amen. And now I find this very interesting because in the book of Proverbs, there's more to say about this subject than probably anything else. And I'm just going to read a few. We don't have time to go through all of them. But we see in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I find it interesting because the next verse says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Notice there's a connection between finding a spouse and the power of your tongue. Whether you're a man or a woman, right? There's a connection there. But I want you to see in verse 21 of 18 in Proverbs, it says that both, you know the scripture, death and life, not just one or the other, both. Death and life are in the power of your tongue or words. And they that love it or have the revelation of it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen? So, now it didn't say death and life are in the power of God. Secondly, it doesn't say that death and life are in the power of the devil. It says that death and life, both, are in the power of the tongue. So in other words, there's death words and there's life words. Death words, life words. Amen? And so, of course, as New Testament believers that are taught the Word of God, we want to use our words to work for us and not against us. Isn't that true? Now, I know that you've heard this kind of stuff before, but I think the Holy Spirit wants to kind of stir us up this morning and remind us. I need reminded myself. Amen? And so it's just so important that we're partnering with the Holy Spirit. And when we say things, all of us here, we want things to turn out for the good for us, right? You want things to turn out good for your kids. You want things to turn out good for your physical body, right? You don't want things to break on you. You don't want your body to break down, you know? Well, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, one of the greatest lies of deception the enemy has used to abroad in the Christian realm is that your words don't really matter. You can say whatever you want. Well, if that's the case, then why is it written through the book of Proverbs? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I love it because it says, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Hallelujah. Amen. Now go to Proverbs 12, verse 18. So there's death words and there's life words. Amen. And I'm telling you, you can say, I speak health and healing and wholeness, for example, over my physical body. I speak life to my organs in my body. I speak life and health to my brain. I speak whatever you're dealing with. Amen? Now, you don't have to have something go wrong in order to say this. You can say it while you're feeling good. Say, I speak life and health to every cell in my body. That covers everything. Amen? Now, Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, there is he that speaketh like the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health, medicine. Do you see that? There is he that speaketh like the piercing of the sword. In other words, bad words. But the tongue of the wise is health. Amen? Now, it's good to, I do it myself. It's good to eat nutritionally good. It's good to read labels. It's good to figure out, you know, if you can't figure out what they're saying, what's on the label, you probably shouldn't eat it, right? We're educated in those things. I think everybody is. Amen. And some people just shove in their mouth anything. They don't even read it. They don't even know what they're eating. You know what I mean? It's not really qualified to be food, you know? That's important. But here's the thing. Health starts with your mouth. Amen. Now, back in Jesus' time, there was no genetically modified food. There was no chemicals. Everything was organic. Everything. There was no pollution, right? There was no chemtrails. There was none of that stuff, right? It was all pure in its natural form. It was organic. But the Bible says there was every manner of sickness and disease among the people. So it was... I'm not belittling. We should eat good. I do the best that I can. We do the best that we can, you know, to eat the right kind of stuff in the right manner and the right form and so forth. That's good. But we don't want to put all of our stock in just our diet. That's important. But what we're saying, now we eat physically with our mouth, but we also speak words with our mouth. That it says, there is he that speaketh like the piercing of the sword, right? But the tongue of the wise is health. Now, a practical application. When you say words over your body, don't say things. That's how the devil grabs a hold of our words without thinking of it. Oh, I'm getting older. I'm having a senior moment, you know. I don't remember like I used to, you know. I got these aches and pains in my body, you know. It's because of my age. I hear that all the time. Okay? Now, because we're around people in the world, we don't want to adapt that phrase into our lives, because by doing so, we're allowing the curse to run rampant in our lives, not knowing it. Ignorantly. Okay? And so now people don't understand that. I don't have to tell them, but I know it. I have revelation of it. So I say, I speak health over my body. I speak health and healing over my heart, over my liver, over my kidneys, over my inward parts, my lungs. I'm healthy. I'm strong. Now, it doesn't take long to do that, but let me tell you, the effects that your words will have on you, especially if you continually say it as a habit. It only takes a few minutes. Say this after me. Say, I'm getting healthier, by the minute. I'm getting stronger every single day. The life of God in me quickens my mortal body. See, that only took 30 seconds or less. But when you say things like that, let the redeemed of the Lord say. So it's not just thinking it. You got to think it first, but then put it into action, put it into words. Now listen, the good thing is you can do that while you're taking a shower, while you're driving down the road, you know, even while you're at work, you know, you can say it under your breath, I'm getting stronger. I meditate all day long, even on the job. I meditate, and your meditator is not going to wear out. Amen. The Bible says, my meditation of the Lord shall be sweet. Oh, there's just something about feasting on the Word of God all the time and meditating. Because, you know, the truth is, you can't walk around on the job and carry your Bible with you all the time. Are you with me? But the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, David said. So we can hide the Word of God in our heart, and then we can begin to meditate. Now, this scripture is so important. There is he that speaketh like the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is what? Health. Is that true or not true? Okay? That's why the enemy tries so hard to get a hold of people's tongues, because if he can get a hold of their tongues, he's got the key to do something in their life that shouldn't be happening. Okay? One of the greatest false doctrines, if you want to call it that. I would say it is a false doctrine. You know, I heard a preacher just recently get on the radio and advertise their church. We believe in the entire sovereignty of God, that God has things under control. And I was like, I know where he's coming from. And it, by saying that, they're saying God has everything under control. Even the bad things that happen, it's under his sovereignty. His sovereignty allows those things to happen. Now, let's just be practical about this. That irritates me, because it's not true. Because when do you resist the devil? If everything's under the sovereignty of God, of God's plan, Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So if everything's God's plan, then why would you resist it? See, it does. A first grader can figure that out. So we need to know when to submit to God. We need to know when to resist the devil. And if something's coming down the pike towards us that's not of God, we need to resist that with every fiber of our being. And yet these people, they mean well, but they come along and they do very much a disservice to people, thinking God has everything under control. Well, if he does, he's got things in a big old mess. Because there's people that are being stolen from, they're dying early, they're dying of sickness, and all of the curse is rampant in the earth, right? Jesus said, pray thy will be done as it is on earth, as it is in heaven, right? So there's a lot of things that happen on the earth that are not God's plan. Okay? Now, you've been taught well enough to know that, praise the Lord. So it's really important that we understand that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we want to use words that will bring life to us. And I'm telling you, by speaking life, you can affect your flesh, you can affect your pocketbook, you can affect your children, you can affect every single part of your life, because God says, I've given you my word, and when you speak my word, you can bring life into those situations. Amen? And I've been around long enough to see this stuff really works. It absolutely works. Now, it may not happen instantly, but something's working. Okay, so we saw Proverbs 12, 18. Let's go to Proverbs 13, verse 3. Now, Brother Charles Capps put out a book many, many years ago, probably 35 years, 40 years ago, called The Tongue, A Creative Force. How many of you have that book? And I mean, oh my goodness, that book is such filled with revelation from, he goes through all these scriptures and so forth. From Brother Capps, you know, and yet people would call him a heretic. You know, name it, and they call it name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. But Jesus said, you can have what you say if you believe it in your heart. It's true, you see. But the devil always tries to, you know, make it sound like it's some religious cult or something like that. But in Proverbs 13, verse 3 says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, and he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You see that? There's the mouth. There's the words. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Go to Proverbs 15, verse 4. Now, I'm not reading all the ones in Proverbs, but I'm just picking out the ones that I felt were very pertinent to, you know, what we're studying here today. We're talking about enforcing our redemption in the earth. Proverbs, what did I say? 15, 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. We just found the tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So a wholesome tongue is a tree of life? There it is right there. There's the tree of life. A wholesome tongue. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Praise God. Do you mean to tell me, Brother Keith, that my words can have an effect on my bones, on my organs? Absolutely yes. Well, what if I'm experiencing some problems in those particular areas? All the more reason to say what God's word says. His word is life to those that find him and health to all their flesh. So pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul. Now, I will say this. Let me just throw this in here. The Lord hasn't called us to be confession policemen. Well, I've been around enough to see that. And I mean, there's a time where you lovingly, you can correct somebody, you know, that just to help them, you know. That I saw, you know, through the years, people would say, you shouldn't be saying that. You know, shouldn't be saying that, you know, and they're, what are you talking about, you know? And we just need to watch what we're saying more than anybody else. Okay? And not try to, you know, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? Why are you, you know what I'm trying to say? Why'd you say that? Now, when I'm teaching, I'm actually, it's a form of correction, but it's not in a condemnation sense. It's to show us, we can come up higher in this area. Amen. There have been times I said things I shouldn't have said. Right? Amen. When I was going to Bible school, you know, my first year of Bible school was 1982. Okay, I was living in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Long story short, it was springtime like it is here. And then in the South, they call it tornado season. Okay? And I was in my living room in my upstairs apartment on the second floor with my roommate, okay? And there, you could tell there's a storm brewing. Now, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, if you've ever been there, maybe you've been to Tulsa before, it's really flat. It's really flat. There's not a lot of hills. And back, and it's still there to this day, but back in when I was going to Bible school, the City of Faith, which is Oral Roberts University, they they built a big old skyscraper. It was a hospital. They built that there, and they had praying hands there, you know. And I'm assuming it's still there. I don't know. But, you know, that was about, as the crow flies, it was about 10 miles from where our apartment was. But you could see it because it was just flat, right? It sticks up. It's beautiful, beautiful gold veneer building, you know, kind of like Trump's Tower, you know. And it's just beautiful. And but I remember there was storm, you know, this is before cable TV and all that. They said storms were coming. And I remember looking across, you know, I was between, I got out of school at 12 noon. You know, we got home. We had a little break before I went back to work. And I was on that break, right? So I'm having lunch. And I'm there with my roommate. And I looked over and the sky looked really dark. It looked really dark. And I said to my roommate, I said, wouldn't it be cool to see a tornado? That's what I said, exactly like that. Wouldn't it be cool to see a tornado? Okay. Within 30 seconds, here comes a tornado. I'd never seen one before. I've only heard about them. But you say, well, how do you know it was a tornado? Because it was a big funnel. Number two, it came out of the clouds, came down, and hit a plant of homes, you know, that were there, these ranch homes. And I mean, as soon as it came down out of the, it came right out of the sky, right out of the sky. And it picked up, you know, it hit shingles from the roofs. And you could see that going up. Whatever it touched, it went up. It just sucked it right up into there. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's happening faster than I can think. So we're like freaking out, you know. Now, the tornado, God is my witness, it was pretty far away, but it was making a beeline right for us. It was coming right at us. It wasn't going right or to the left. It was coming right at us, okay? Well, keep in mind, I just said, wouldn't it be cool to see a tornado? What a stupid statement. So as this is happening, I mean, it's accelerating. Time is just getting by us just like that. You know, it's coming right at us. And all of a sudden, I mean, you get all these thoughts. I mean, I'm like, am I going to die here? You know, I'm just in Bible school, you know. I mean, it looked nasty. You could hear it. It sounded like a freight train, like people say. Okay? And were you there? You were probably working at that point. You were at work. Okay. Okay. And so anyway, we thank God we have some scripture in us because we're going to Bible school, you know. And I mean to tell you, we hit the floor initially. You know, we're thinking, you know, just your initial fleshly reaction, you know. But then we just rose up, my roommate, and we started speaking the word of God to say, no weapon formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus. We started speaking to that thing, you know. And I mean, I've got goosebumps on top of goosebumps. I mean, we're in the midst of this thing, and this thing is getting closer and closer. Now, we lived in these apartments called Burning Tree Apartments, okay. They're still there, but they just changed the name, okay? And they were nice apartments. A lot of students lived there from different colleges that were Raymond, other schools that were there, ORU, you know, and other schools, and beautiful apartments. But there were different buildings. You know, you have a building here, a building here, a building here. It wasn't all just one building. They were spread out. You know what I'm saying? Beautiful complex, you know? And that tornado came across Memorial Drive, where we lived. That was the street we lived, Memorial, really busy highway. And I could hear cars like skidding and stuff like that, you know. And it came across, and there was a building across the parking lot from where we were. And there was a big old trash, there was a big dumpster there. People throw their trash in there. And that tornado came across, I'm talking within 100 yards, okay, and hit that apartment complex by the same name across from us. And I'm looking at this. And we're still speaking the word of God. And that thing sucked the windows out of the apartments. And trees were just being rooted up and stuff like that and thrown everywhere, you know. And we just started screaming at that thing in the name of Jesus, you know. And when we did, it went up and it left. It went right back up into the clouds and left. Yeah. I don't know where it went, but it left. It went back up and it moved on and hit somewhere else. But I thought, that's an interesting thing. that mistake that I made, wouldn't it be cool to see a tornado? Well, the devil says, we'll accommodate that. Amen? Now, you know, here in Pennsylvania, over the last month, we've had some storms. We've had some wind storms and things of that nature that can do some damage, you know. And I've learned well enough to know that when the radio, the TV, television, and your buzzer goes off on your phone now, you know, and beep, 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 there's a storm coming. I don't wait for that. We start speaking to, plead the blood of Jesus over our property, over our trees, over every part of our house, that no damage will come. Amen. Because I'm not going to let the devil come in here, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we have the power within us through Jesus Christ to speak to those elements, to speak to those storms, so that they don't do harm or danger to us. Amen? Praise God. And so what we want to do is we want to use words that will work for us and not against us. Now, I made mention of the fact some time ago, there was a minister by the name of Joe Morris. I don't know if you ever heard of Joe Morris before. He still preaches the gospel. He was a traveling minister back in the day. And years ago, when we had our first church, he would come to our church like once a year and preach the gospel, you know. He does a lot of stuff now in the end times and things like that. And while he was preaching one time, and I remember talking to him personally about this, he said somebody that he, a church that he attended, I think in Tulsa, a young couple wanted to get married, okay. So they asked, he was like their favorite preacher, so they asked him if he would consider doing the wedding ceremony and so forth. He agreed to do it. Long story short, he said, we got to get together. We got to have some counseling sessions and meet together, get on the same page with everything. And he said he had never met this couple before, just were introduced to them. And so as he was meeting with this young couple in their 20s, he said that the girl, you know, they had never been married before. This is their first time, right? Going down the aisle. And the girl said something kind of out of the ordinary. And she said, you know, I'm just afraid that I'm going to do something and break my ankle before the wedding day comes, you know. And he said, well, you probably shouldn't say that. You know what I mean? He was trying to bring correction to help her. The second time they met, a week or two later, I didn't hear this. He told me this personally. He said, she said the same thing again. This went on like two or three times. I just have this fear that something's going to happen to me, that I won't be able to walk down the aisle when I get married. I don't know where she got that. Well, we know the enemy. But she had this, I don't know, I never heard of a fear like that. I'm afraid when wedding day comes, I'm not going to be able to get on normally like a normal bride, right? Well, guess what happened? The week of the wedding ceremony, she did something and broke her ankle, you know, and they got married, but it wasn't like, you know, what it comes down to is this. You are the prophet. Brother Copeland used to say that you're the prophet of your own life. She basically, here's what happened. The devil put a fear in her mind. She spoke it out. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And it gave the devil legal right to do something to harm her. Okay? Because she kept saying, I'm just afraid. Now that's what Job 3:25 says. The thing I greatly, not just feared, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of has come unto me. Job later, when the Lord helped him and corrected him, he said, Lord, teach me right words. Teach me to hold my tongue and show me wherein I've erred. Amen? So he said, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, right? So when the devil puts a fear into our minds, a fear of loss, a fear of losing something, hasn't even happened yet. We all know what that's like, right? What we have to do is harness our thoughts. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. Your mind has loins. You got to gird it up and say, wait a second, that's not my thought. That's the enemy's thought. I'm going to break the power of that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, I'm just going to quote this because of time, but in Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, Jesus said this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Out of the heart. Jesus went on to say, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen? So we have to ask ourselves, we get thoughts all the time, you and I, all of us. How many of you ever had a bad thought, even recently? You get a bad thought, bad dream, whatever, you know? And, you know, thoughts that are unspoken die unborn. The enemy can come along all he wants and try to put fear inside you. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. You know, and fear about you or your family members and things of that nature. What we need to do is harness those thoughts and say, no, no, you don't. And counteract it with God's word. Amen? Praise the Lord. So Proverbs 15 verse 4, or 16 verse 24 says, pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Go to 21:23. Now this kind of wraps it up here. Proverbs 21:23. Do you see the connection between your words and health? Now this one says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Amen. Everybody here, without unanimously, we all get bad thoughts. We know that they're from the devil and demons and evil spirits. Right? But what we don't want to do is give voice to what he is saying to give him a legal right to enter into our lives. We want to speak health, victory, words that will defeat the enemy and exalt the Lord in our lives. So whoever opens his mouth keepeth his, whoever keepeth his mouth keepeth his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to quote this because of time here. But in Joel chapter 3 verse 10, the Bible says, let the weak say, I am what? Okay, I'm feeling weak. I feel drained. Okay? Now, all of us get physically tired at a certain point. You know, we got so much energy. But what we don't want to do is give the enemy our words. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Because the more we say that, the more he says, okay, you want to be tired? I'm going to make you really tired. I'm just tired. Your kids are acting up. They're just tired. You know what I mean? Right? Well, we all get physically tired. But I'm talking about, let the weak say, I am weak. No. If you feel weak, what are we supposed to say? I'm strong. You say, well, if I say that, I feel like I'm lying. No, you're not lying. You're calling those things that be not as though they were. When you called on Jesus, when you weren't saved, but you called on the name of the Lord, you got saved. You got born again. Amen. So what you said came to pass, and now you're born again, child of the living God. The same thing happens with every other area of our lives. So let the weak say, I am strong. Now go to Proverbs chapter 4 real quick. Proverbs chapter 4. Whew, man, time's getting by here. We've heard this scripture many, many times, but notice in verse 20, Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all of their flesh. The word health is the Hebrew word for medicine. Their life, the word of God is life and health, medicine to all their flesh. Brother Hagin had a little mini book called God's Medicine. And it comes from this particular verse of scripture right here. If we keep the word of God in our eyes and in our ears, it's life and it's health to all of our flesh. Amen. So there's something about keeping the word in our eyes and in our ears. There's a lot of voices, there's a lot of things that we hear out there. Now, especially more than ever before, you got the media, social media, television, cable TV. There's a lot of voices that are out there. But there's one voice that we need to pay attention to, and that's the voice of the Word of God. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in your heart. For they are life to those that find them, and medicine or health to all their flesh. So you have a spirit, right? The doorway to your spirit is through the eye gate and the ear gate. Okay? Now, I'm not proud of it, but through the years, you know, I've seen some movies that are violent in nature. Wasn't planning on it, but, you know. But, you know, you see something on the big screen or something, you wouldn't, and all of a sudden you have a dream about that. Or something violent, you know what I mean? You weren't planning on that happening. But what happened was you saw it, you heard it. Okay, no, of course, you can't help but hear and see certain things because it's just, we're in this world, right? But there's certain things, criteria, when it comes to watching shows or movies. I don't just watch anything that comes down the pike. I don't. Right? If it's not good for my soul, I'm not watching it. Yeah, but Pastor, it's so popular. That movie's so popular. You know? Well, there's death and there's destruction in it. I mean, just, you know, you put on the 12 o'clock news at noontime, you know, and everything they say, I don't watch it. I don't read news. You know, I've never read a newspaper. Ever. In my entire life. Now, I've saw the headlines or something like it, but I never sat down to read. I thank God I didn't miss anything. Amen? But, you know, when you even listen to the news, they're amplifying all the bad stuff in the local, especially in Channel 4, Channel 2, Channel 11, the local news. It's as bad as it gets. They thrive on bad news. They thrive on it. What's happening bad over here? Someone's getting killed over here. It's all, there's no good news. It's all bad news. All of it. Okay? They got news 24/7 now, right? And so if Christians meditate on that stuff all the time, that's what gets in their eyes and their ears. It gets down inside their spirit. Okay? Well, we don't want that. We want to put the word of God inside our heart and in our eyes. So they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Now go to John chapter 6. Let's wrap this up here. John chapter 6. So Solomon says, my words are life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. Now that's interesting, because all your flesh means, that means your whole body. That means your feet, your knees, your legs, your hips, your stomach, your lungs, your shoulders, your head, your neck, your fingers, your toes, every part of your body. The Bible says that the word is health to how much of your flesh? All your flesh. Amen. Praise God. I made mention of the fact here recently when I had some numbness in this thumb, you know, and I was just putting up with it. I guess, I don't know, neuropathy or whatever was in my thumb. And I just kept putting up with it. I just kept putting up with it. Kept putting up with it, you know. It was like the Holy Spirit was like itching me on the inside. When are you going to do something about that? I don't know why we do that sometimes. We kind of wait. He says, get on that thing right now. Get on. I was asking the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to do this? He says, well, I approached him. I said, Lord, give me wisdom. How do you want me to pray about this situation? Okay. He said, and he showed me in my spirit. Now, I didn't hear it audibly, but I heard it in here. And I think it'll help us to realize. He says, now, son, didn't I give you the power and authority over that? Didn't I give you the power to speak my word? He goes, put it to work. Start speaking over it. Amen. So I held it up and I began to speak to it. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command numbness to go. In the name of Jesus, I command the blood to be strong, the blood flow, whatever was going on there. I speak life and health to that. Amen. Now, it didn't happen instantly, but within a week it was gone. The feeling came back. Amen. Now, that had been going on for 3 years at least. Okay. Why I didn't deal with it earlier, I just don't know. It's a dumb thing. Okay? But he says, I've given you the authority and the power. I've given you my words. Use your words against that. That doesn't belong there. God didn't create your limbs to be numb. Are you with me? Something wasn't working right. He said, use my word and speak to that thing. Amen. Now listen, God's made you worthy through his blood to be able to do that. You qualify. Jesus qualified you. Now in John chapter 6, verse 63, in light of what we just read in Proverbs chapter 4, I want you to see this. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Notice this. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay? Now, in Proverbs it says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are, notice this, life to those that find them and health to all their flesh, or healing to all their flesh. Now, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they are life. So we see from here that when you speak God's word, you're speaking life into situations. Amen? Now I'll close here. I'm just going to refer to this. We won't turn to this because we're out of time here. But we see, if I had time, I would have. But in James chapter 3, we see that James talks about the tongue. James was the half-brother of Jesus. He grew up in the same household. Joseph and Mary were his parents. God was not his father at that point. And he grew up in the same household as Jesus. He was the half-brother of Jesus. So he was able to observe, Jesus being the eldest, he was able to observe how he functioned, how he operated. Okay? So we know this scripture, you know, and he talks about the tongue no man can tame. You know, and he says how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, it's like the fire of iniquity, the tongue, you know. And he says the tongue is like the rudder of a ship. And even though it's such a big ship, that rudder, the size of that rudder can control the direction of that ship. The bit in the horse's mouth, right, as small as it is compared to the horse's body, that horse might weigh 1,300 pounds or more. What's a horse weigh anyway? Is it more? Okay. Yeah, if it's a Belgian horse, we're talking a couple of thousand pounds. You know, a draft horse. But any horse is controlled by the reins. Now, I used to put, you know, the reins or the bit when I was a kid, and we were trained to put them in the horse's mouth, a horse camp that I went to, you know. And it's really that big. It's real small, you know. And I was kind of freaked out at first trying to put that thing in the, because all I saw was the horse's teeth. I'm like, I don't want the thing to bite me. You know what I mean? He's got big teeth. But they showed us how to put it in there, and we did it and so forth. And that bit, literally, when you put pressure on either side of that horse, if you want to go this way, you pull it this way. If you want to go left, you pull it this way. If you want to go reverse, you pull back. If you stop, right, it goes backwards. And so that bit, as small as it was, controlled the direction of that horse. Also controlled the speed of that horse. Are you with me? Now these big ocean liners, these cruise boats now that are massive, like a city on water. Now, I've never been on one, never took a cruise. Anybody here ever take a cruise before? Okay. Must be nice. Let's do a church cruise, will you say? Amen. Wouldn't that be fun, huh? But, you know, relatively speaking, I mean, these are massive, massive boats. But the rudders, those boats have rudders. That's how they steer them, right? Relatively speaking, they're so much smaller than compared to the size of that boat. Okay? Yet, that rudder determines the direction. It determines the direction of that boat. The bit determines the direction of the horse, which way it's going to go. So in conclusion today, he said, your tongue is like the rudder on a ship. Your tongue is like the bit in a horse's mouth. And whichever way you turn it, that's the way it's going to go. Now, who other than James would understand that growing up in the same house? Jesus was perfect. Flawless. Never said idle words. never said something he had to repent from. Never. There's never been a human being like him. He's perfect in all his ways. So if anybody had an observation, it was the front seat was James. He was able to see how Jesus functioned, how he operated, you know. And, I mean, can you imagine Jesus growing up and being sick? You can't even fathom that. He wasn't sick. He didn't have any gray hair, right? Death wasn't working in him. He was a perfect man, okay? But James says, the tongue no man can tame. And that's not said to make us feel defeated. We're talking about enforcing our redemption. But when I asked the Lord, Lord, put a watch in my mouth today. Help me today to say words that are going to build up and edify not only myself, but even others that I speak about. I want to make sure I'm speaking good words about other people, not curse-filled words. Okay? And Lord knows I've failed in that way many a times, but we have a Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. Amen? And He will help us. He will help us to control our tongue and to say right words. And wow. I feel overwhelmed sometimes, you know? Didn't Jesus say this? He says, I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your enemies can gainsay nor resist in the Gospels. He says, I'm going to give you a mouth and wisdom that none of your enemies can gainsay or resist. We would say the enemy. So as we wake up in the morning, that's our day starts in the morning for most of us, you know, we can say things like, Lord, help me to say right words today. Now, don't be fearful if you make a mistake. The Lord's not wanting to jump on you because you make a mistake. We make mistakes all the time. But the key is to catch it, right? If we say something we shouldn't say, just say, Lord, make those words null and void right now, right? Like, for kids first heard that word, they're like, null and void, what's that? When they were younger. Not last week, but... Null and void, what's that? Make this nullified, those words. I said something I shouldn't have said. I don't want that to come to pass in my life. So the Holy Spirit will help us. Now, as we launch into this week right now, I'm telling you, let's choose our words wisely. The Holy Spirit will help us. And just keep it very simple. Keep it simple. It don't have to be long. It doesn't have to be 3 pages of confessions. If you want to, you can do that. But just keep things very simple. I declare in the name of Jesus. I declare this in the morning that health and healing rule and reign in my household, over my wife, over my children, over my daughter-in-law, over our new grandbaby, you know, before she's even born in the natural. Amen. And I speak life. I speak life over the people of Covenant Family Church, over your families and over, you know what I mean? I believe that God hears me when I'm saying that. I believe that your standard and quality of life and your health, you that are here, is increasing by the moment, increasing by the minute, increasing by the day. Amen? In a sense, we're like high priest over the confession of our mouth, what we say. So we want to use our words. Praise God. If you're having trouble with somebody in your family, use your words to push back the powers of darkness. By choosing right words. Well, they're just not acting. Well, I know. They're not acting a certain way. Well, God has given you as the parent. And just because they move out of your house doesn't mean you don't have authority in their lives. They'll always be your kids. Amen? Speak life. Speak blessing. I call them in their right mind in the name of Jesus. Like the prodigal son when he came to himself. Like it says, he came to himself. He had a moment. I had it better back in my father's house, right? Praise the Lord. Enforcing our redemption, speaking right words. Why don't we just close by saying this? Say, Dear Lord, I thank you for the power of the Word of God. I choose life. I choose your Word. And I speak that Word over my body. I speak health and healing to all my flesh in the name of Jesus. I speak strength to my mind and to my body. Hallelujah. Amen. That's just a sample example that we can begin to say that. Praise God. So let's begin to do it. What do you say? More and more. I'm not saying we're not doing it, but let's begin to do it more and more. Praise God. Double up on it. Sometimes you have to. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We're so thankful for the Word of God. There's life in your Word, Father. It's life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord says, I've given you the power and authority to rise up and say and to speak that which I've said in my holy writ. And as you say what I say and speak what I say, you are literally speaking and getting to the heart of the matter of the thing that you're dealing with. So do not be discouraged when you say something and it doesn't appear that it's happening. For it is happening. For my word cannot fail, and my word will complete the process. So speak what I've said with confidence, with boldness, and let the word not depart from your eyes. Keep it in your heart, and yes, keep it in your mouth, for there you will be putting pressure on the hand of the enemy, and he will have to back off. That pain will have to back away. That sickness will have to fall beneath your feet, because it has no arsenal against my word. So speak my word boldly and confidently. I've given you the right to use my word. I've given you the power and authority to use my word. As my child, I have ordained that you speak my word and receive the fullness of the blessings that I have for you now on this earth. So rise up and be blessed and speak my word, and all will be well in your life, in your family, in every part of your life, says the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So be it.